Thank you. Good. Yeah. Go ahead.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to Polka and Praise. There might be some of you here yet that remember my grandma, Allie Ray. That seat right by that window back there, that was her seat. She was a full-blooded Swede. She loved the Lutheran hymns, and she loved the polka. So I'm always so happy whenever we do this. Today we have polkas and waltzes for you to sing to. Or if you choose, you can watch the slideshow and just tap your feet. But whatever you do, remember to smile and be joyful before the Lord. We're going to start with our litany of joy, and the first song is "This is a Wonderful Day God Has Made," sung to the Pennsylvania Polka.
This is a wonderful day God has made.
Good morning. I don't know how to follow that up except to say thank you for all the people who helped at the funeral on Friday. Our friend Harlow made this for me the first month I was here. Harlow was a plumber. I was putting up some shelves, and I thought all the 2x4s were lined up there, and there was a line there, and I started, I don't even have to measure. I could just screw it in. And when I screwed it in, I said, I wonder what's behind there. And I looked beyond the front of the 2x4, and there was a pipe that I had put that screw right in. So I called our friendly plumber, Harlow, and Harlow came over, and then he made me this plaque, which I've hung proudly in my shop ever since. So. Yeah, it says dumb Finlander mistake. Dumb Finlander mistake. He thought I needed a reminder to. So, anyway, the help that you folks put together and the support you gave the family, they really appreciated that, and you guys did a wonderful job. So thank you for that. Today, and this month, we're doing World Hunger programming, so you hear read about things with an insert. There's boxes in back there if you'd like to take and put some coin boxes together. They don't have to be in next Sunday. And if you don't have enough coins, I know you all have a check, so you could probably write a check and stick it in there. Yes, Welka is in need of a co-chair. Welka is the women of the ELCA. About 7 or 8 years ago, in fact, before that, there was a little controversy that went on in our Welka group because the ladies didn't step up to take leadership roles. And the people who were there were good, wonderful, caring, loving stewards, And because there was no change in leadership, things got out of hand and had a little trouble. So ladies, we need you to step up and take turns leading the group. It's not like it's a great pain. In fact, there's some great joy that comes from it. So I just want to put that pitch in. Are you guys meeting this week?
Not
until November. So think about it if someone asks you to take a leadership role, okay? I think that's all. Oh, you see they're starting a new Lions Club, so if that's something you're interested, read that one, okay? Free matinee movie down at the Malacca Theater. Who's from Malacca in this place? Yeah, okay, there. We got a bunch of Malacca folks. I thought that Malacca was a one-horse town. That you guys have a movie theater down there? Shoot, if I would have known. Let's open with a word of prayer. Oh Lord, what a wonderful, beautiful day, and what a wonderful, beautiful fall you've given to us. Open our eyes and our hearts to the miracle of your creation. Thank you for allowing us to live in this place. Today we gather to hear this wonderful music that has been passed down through the generations. We gather to hear your word and to open our hearts to you, to tell you we love you, and to hear your words to us that you love us. So allow this to be a time of openness and joy as we praise your name through these songs. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
We continue our litany of joy with "The Lord Comes to Cana," sung to the Beer Barrel Polka.
That tuba. Please rise and let us turn to the order of confession and forgiveness. Blessed be the Holy Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, one God whose name is majestic in all the earth, who rescues and heals in every time of trouble, who does all things well.
Amen.
Let us come before God seeking forgiveness and life. Let's take a moment for silent confession. let us confess together. Steadfast and saving God, have mercy on us. We confess to you all the ways we turn from you and harm one another. In your compassion, forgive our sins and heal our hurts. Bring forth from us a harvest of righteousness, the fruit of gentleness and peacemaking, the sheaves of wisdom and justice, through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. In the name of Jesus, the Son of God, receive mercy and find grace in your time of need. Your transgressions are forgiven. God's love is healing balm for your wounds. Rejoice, for God raises you up to new life in Christ.
Amen.
And let's join in the prayer of the day. Almighty and ever-living God, increase in us your gift of faith, that forsaking what lies behind and reaching out to what lies ahead, we may follow the way of your commandments and receive the crown of everlasting joy. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Please be seated.
Today's anthem is a harvest hymn, and it's sung to the tune of Somewhere My Love, so please sing with us.
Our friend Lynn Haas is in the hospital, so I'll read for her today. Our first lesson comes from the fourth chapter of Hebrews. We cannot hide our thoughts, desires, and actions from God, to whom we are completely accountable. Nevertheless, Jesus understands our human weakness and temptation, because he also experienced them. Therefore, we can approach the throne of grace to receive divine mercy from Christ. The author of Hebrews writes, "Indeed, the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing until it divides soul from spirit, joints from marrow. It is able to judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart. And before him no creature is hidden, but all are naked and laid bare to the eyes of the one to whom we must render an account. Since then, we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. Let us hold fast to our confession. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who is in every respect has been tested as we are, yet without sin.
Let us therefore approach the throne of grace with boldness, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Our psalm this morning comes from Psalm 90. Let's read it responsively. So teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts to wisdom.
Return, O Lord, how long will you tarry? Be gracious to your servants.
So teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts to wisdom. Satisfy us by your steadfast love in the morning. So shall we rejoice and be glad all our days.
Make us glad as many days as you afflicted us, and as many years as we suffered adversity.
Show your servants your works, and your splendor to their children.
So teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts to wisdom.
And we'll invite the praise team to lead us in the
gospel acclamation. Please sing with us, but be ready to wrap your mouth around some words. This is Hallelujah, Glory Be, to welcome the living word, and it's sung to the tune of Whoop-Dee-Doo.
Our gospel lesson for this 20th Sunday after Pentecost is found in the 10th chapter of St. Mark. The story today has to do with a rich young man coming to Jesus asking what he must do to inherit eternal life. And it reminds me that each one of us fights our own demons. You know what your demons are, I know what mine are, and this young man, Jesus points out his demon. As Jesus was setting out on a journey, a man ran up and knelt before him and asked him, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" Jesus said to him, "Why do you call me good? No one is good but God alone. You know the commandments: you shall not murder, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness, you shall not defraud, honor your father and your mother." He said to him, "Teacher, I have kept all these since my youth." Jesus, looking at him, loved him and said, "You lack one thing. Go sell what you own and give the money to the poor, and you'll have treasure in heaven. Then come, follow me." When he heard this, he was shocked and went away grieving, for he had many possessions. Then Jesus looked around and said to his disciples, "How hard it will be for those who have wealth to enter the kingdom of God." And the disciples were perplexed at these words, but Jesus said to them again, "Children, how hard it is to enter the kingdom of God. It's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for someone who is rich to enter the kingdom of God." They were greatly astounded and said to one another, "Then who can be saved?" Jesus looked at him and said, "For mortals it is impossible, but not for God. For God all things are possible." Peter began to say to him, "Look, we have left everything and followed you." Jesus said, "Truly I tell you, there is no one who has left house or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or fields for my sake and for the sake of the good news who will not receive 100-fold now in this age, houses, brothers and sisters, mothers and children, and fields with persecutions, and in the age to come, eternal life. But many who are first will be last, and the last will be first." The word of God, the word of life. Please be seated. Grace be unto you, and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. A friend who says that he likes to get my goat because he always asks if I took an extra offering and stuff like that, you know. He says people that say that money isn't the key to happiness, but I always figured, my friend says, if I had enough money, I could buy a key. I always figured if I had enough money. A question I want us to think about today is, how much is enough? How much is enough? Hollywood film editor once was writing in a book. He said, "I had this date the other night with a woman who wanted to walk along the beach. I'm wearing a $2,000 suit, $75 tie, $150 shirt, and a pair of $200 shoes. Cost me $15 to clean my suit and $6 to have my shirt hand washed." He says, "I don't even want to think about what it would cost if I should get a drop of spaghetti sauce on my tie. And this woman wants me to roll up my pants and walk along the beach. All I can think about is how much it's going to cost me if she wants to sit down on the sand. Here's the bottom line that I have to ask myself." He says, "Can I afford to wear my own clothes?" $2,000 suit, $75 tie, $150 shirt, pair of $200 shoes. When is enough enough? That, by the way, is from a book entitled Lives Without Balance. J. Paul Getty died a few years back, was reputed to be the wealthiest man in the world. He once complained to a newspaper reporter that inflation was hurting him and that $1 billion was not what it used to be. That's a billion with a B. And that was back when a billion was a lot of money. Don't you feel sorry for him that he was losing money on inflation? What we have in our gospel lesson today is a wealthy man comes to Jesus to ask what he needed to inherit eternal life. Evidently, this man is where many of us are, huh? His material needs were being met, but not his spiritual needs. He wasn't a bad man. He was just an empty one. He was empty inside. His approach to Jesus, however, is a bit of unbecoming flattery. He addresses Jesus as "good teacher." You should know that this is a violation of proper Jewish etiquette. Jesus asks him, "Why do you call me good? No one is good except God alone." I think he's trying to tell him, don't put your ultimate confidence in teachers or powerful people, but put your confidence in God. The arm of flesh is frail and will fail, but God remains true. Well, Jesus says, "Well, you know the commandments. don't murder, don't commit adultery, don't steal, don't give false testimony, shall not defraud, honor your mother and father. And the young fellow says, teacher, all of these things I've kept since I was a boy. This man believed that if he kept the Mosaic law, the Ten Commandments, that he would have it made spiritually. So here's the situation. He thought money would make him happy, but it didn't. He thought keeping all the rules of the faith would make him happy, but it didn't. He's still empty inside. All his life he'd been taught that if he had enough money and that if he was a good guy, that would be enough. But it wasn't. He wasn't finding any joy, any peace, any real life, I think. Mark tells us that Jesus looked at him and Jesus loved him. He could see right away that this guy was missing something in his life. He knew. He's trying to live as the society had taught him to live. And Jesus appreciated that, and Jesus wanted to give him the key to what was needed for a full life, a purposeful, meaningful, joyful life. Jesus says, one thing you lack. Go and sell everything you have. Give it to the poor, and you'll have treasures in heaven forever. And then come follow me. And at this, says the Gospel of Mark, the man's face fell. And he goes away sad because he had great wealth. At least one Bible scholar that I've read said that this might be the saddest verse in all of the scriptures, that his face fell. This young man was in the presence of the Master himself, Jesus, the Son of God, God made man. He could have made his life something magnificent, something wonderful. His name would have been called blessed by hundreds of people that he might have helped. He might have gone on to be a gospel writer. His name would have been revered even today if he had followed Jesus' advice, but he turned away because he couldn't let go of the good in order to grasp the best. He couldn't let go of the good in order to grasp the best. That is following Jesus. God gives us the freedom to do that. You know, we don't have to accept what God has to give us. So the gospel says he went away sad because he had great wealth. Can you imagine that? I mean, I could understand it if it read, he went away sad in spite of his wealth. Many are sad in spite of their great wealth, but it says, he went away sad because of his great wealth. Is it possible to be sad? Is it possible to be sad because you have great wealth? Jesus looked around and said to his disciples, well, how hard it is for the rich to enter into the kingdom of God. And the disciples, they're amazed. They're amazed. They probably don't know this either. They're amazed at what Jesus says. And Jesus says, children, how hard it is to enter the kingdom of God. It's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for someone who's rich to enter the kingdom of God. And then the disciples look around, and you can just imagine them. And finally, one of them says, well, then who can be saved? If it's not about wealth, who can be saved? And that's a good question. If accumulating toys won't bring you happiness and keeping the rules won't bring you salvation, what's it going to take to find meaning and purpose and joy and peace? If we take everything we have and sell it and give the proceeds to the poor, like Jesus is telling us, will that do it? Well, that depends. And it depends on this. Is money the most important thing in your life? Is it your money that's keeping you from giving your heart and your all to God? When Jesus told this man to sell everything he had and give it to the poor, he went away sad because he had great wealth, and Jesus was simply telling the man the truth that about what came first in this young man's life. That was his demon that I was talking about at the beginning here. His demon was his money, his wealth. That's what he wanted to build up. He wouldn't let anything get in the way of doing that. That's where he thought he'd find peace and hope and love and joy. And so back to the question, you know, what is your demon? Or maybe, what is it that comes first in your life? Let me say it another way. What is it that keeps you from doing something great for God? Is it your job? Is it your family? Is it playing computer games? Is it watching sports on TV? Is it conversing with your friends on Facebook? Some hobby? fishing, hunting. Could I look at your visa statement or your computer log or your day planner and discover what really matters to you? They say that's all you need to look at is someone's one of those things. See where their priorities are. Is it the accumulation of more wealth? More toys. Jesus says, where a man's treasure is, there his heart is. What's important? Jesus knew where this man's heart was. He was a nice guy. He kept all the commandments. That may be more than you or I do. I mean, this must have been a good guy. Jesus looked at him and loved him, and he really loved him. But Jesus knew that God didn't come first in this young guy's life. He wasn't living in response to God's goodness. He wasn't asking, what do you want me to do today, God? Who can I help today, God? God wasn't a part of the situation. And so Jesus loved him, but he felt bad, huh? So the question is, what is it that comes first in your life? Are you ready to put God first in your life? Are you feeling emptiness in your life? Are you living the way God would have us to live? Have you discovered that there's not enough money, not enough work, not enough sex, not enough booze, not enough gambling, not enough narcotics to ease the pain of your emptiness and your unfilled heart? Maybe we have to ask God every day, every moment, what do you want me to do? How can I help you? Where's your spirit leading me? I think that's what this lesson is about. Disciples were amazed with Jesus' words about the difficulty of the wealthy entering the kingdom, huh? But Jesus looked at his disciples and says, with man, this is impossible, but not with God. With God, all things are possible. All of a sudden, Peter gets this idea. Oh, Lord, yeah. We've left everything to follow you. And Jesus says, truly I tell you, no one who has left home or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or the fields for me and the gospel will fail to receive 100 times as much in this present age and in the age to come, eternal life. If you follow him, all of this stuff is going to be coming around to you. But many who are first will be last, and the last shall be first. What are your priorities? Don't misunderstand. Jesus isn't saying that it's impossible for people with money to enter the kingdom. He said all things are possible with God. The only people in danger are those who put their wealth before God. The only people in danger are those who enjoy their wealth while turning a blind eye to the needs of the poor. The only people in danger are those who have no greater purpose in life than accumulation of more. When is enough enough? That's the question. That's the thought here. And maybe we'll throw in all the other demons that you and I carry. I call them demons, you know. The things that we can't get over, the things that we can't give up, the things that control us instead of serving God. You know what gets in your way. I know what gets in mine. Thank goodness we've got grace that God loves us in spite of our shortcomings, our falling. One last story. Over the past 15 years, a businessman in New Jersey had anonymously given away more than $600 million to universities and medical centers and other beneficiaries. Recently, a legal complication forced him to come forward with his identity, and he explained his generosity in this way. This is what he said to The Week magazine. Huh? They give me a nickel every time I mention it, so needed my earn my nickel today. This is what this article said. He said, no one can wear two pairs of shoes at one time. I simply decided I had enough money. That is very rare for a person of great wealth to say, I decided I had enough money. And a friend of this donor described him as a man who doesn't own a house, doesn't own a car. He flies economy class. He wears a $15 watch. And this is what his friend said. But he didn't want his money to crush him. Could that happen to you? That your craving for material success could crush you or your family or your health or your relationship with God? This wealthy young man in our scripture turned sadly away from Jesus because he had great wealth. Is your craving for material success taking you away from Jesus? I've just put that out there for us to think about these days, huh? Amen. May God's peace and love be with us now and always. Amen. This time we'll invite our ushers to receive our morning offering and invite the praise team to lead us in the garden song.
Song to the tune of the Tennessee Waltz. Sung to the Just Because polka. Well, because he lives.
Thank you.
kind of quick, don't they? Please rise and let us join in the offertory prayer. Let us pray together. Merciful God, as grains of wheat scattered upon the hills were gathered together to become one bread, so let your church be gathered together from the ends of the earth into your kingdom. For yours is the glory through Jesus Christ, now and forever. Amen. Made alive with God in Christ, we pray for the church, those in need, and all of God's creation. Let's take a moment for silent prayer. Holy and ever-living God, uphold your world with your word, that we remain steadfast in our life with you. Deliver mercy and grace to us through Jesus, our high priest. Lord, in your mercy. Reclaim lands and waters that have been polluted through human neglect and greed. By your creative spirit, introduce again the vibrant and diverse life you have made. Lord, in your mercy. Establish your justice through the work of judges, juries, and officers of the court. Bless them and those whom they serve, so that your goodness will flow through them. Lord, in your mercy. Pour out compassion on your servants in time of need. Be with Eileen Dickinson and her family as they mourn Harlow's passing. Be with Bill and Sherry and Dean and Linda, Ron and Carol, Carol Bipes, Minnie Gilbert, Alfie, Maria Berman, Lynn Haas, and those in our lives who need your healing touch. Where people dwell in darkness, let the light of your truth and mercy refresh and renew them. Lord, in your mercy. Knock down the barriers in our lives that keep us from following you. Show us how to open doors for others to enter into your saving presence. Lord, in your mercy. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for the lives you have given to us. Help us not to go chasing those lives so much and forget about your goodness and your grace. We remember in our prayers today young London, whose accounts are off normal. Walk with her these days. You are the great healer. Please give her healing. Be with the snowbirds who are about to travel, pack. Help them to have a safe winter and a safe travel. And Lord, if you could smile upon our loved ones, keep them close, we would sure appreciate that. Your everlasting gift of forgiveness has sustained the saints throughout all generations. Continually immerse your people in that same gift until we stand before your throne of grace. Lord, in your mercy. Gather these concerns and all who are in need into your abundant care, O God, remembering your promise of mercy. Through Christ our Lord.
Amen.
We'll invite the praise team to lead us in the Lord's Prayer.
This is sung to the old waltz tune, Shaking Partners.
Your power and your glory.
Like children in the arms of Jesus, receive his blessing. And now may the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and grant you his peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Go in peace. Remember the poor.
Thanks be to God.
Our blessing song is sung to the tune of Edelweiss. Chocolate cake, we have fruit strudel, we have coffee, and root beer floats. So please come.
I'm not going to mention that.
I'm not going to mention that. Oh, sweet child.